God, like Isaiah, to see you high and lifted up. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we are, Sunday night church. How many people came straight from work? All right, wow, come on. How many people brought your dinner with you? All right, Chris brought dinner with him. Look at that. He said, I'm not going to be late to church. I'm bringing dinner with me. I love it. I love it. That's like a faith statement right there. But we have with us tonight Pastor John and Diane Post. And yeah. And he's going to come up and speak to us tonight. And we're excited to hear. A few years ago, I don't know when it was, 3 or 4 years ago, you guys came up. They came up for, 3 weeks or something? 2 weeks? Felt like 21 days. No, I don't know. No, when was? Yeah, I don't know. They came up for a time. I don't know what it was, but it was meaningful. It was so meaningful. We don't know how long it was, but but it was great, really, just having you guys with us. And then, you know, things have had COVID happen and all that, yada yada yada. But here we are, there again, with us for the weekend, and their life is amazing. Missionaries in the former Soviet worlds, and then also all throughout Asia in different ways and different times. And what has blessed me, you read their newsletter and you hear what they're doing, and they are led by God. And that's what I love so much about them. So, among other things, you know, it's not the only thing we love about them. But yeah, so welcome, Pastor Post.
Yeah, we're... I mean, what can we say except that we're blessed, right? Whatever God calls us to, and He has different calls on every one of our lives, there is no greater blessing than following that call. Early on for us, for me, I mean, I had the incredible privilege of going on the church planting team to Alaska. And there was this wonderful, it was all couples and families except for this one wonderful single girl who didn't want any single men on the team, by the way. And she had a heart for missions, and God had called me to missions. And I really found that and found the community that shared that vision with me when I went and visited Lenox and visited the Bible Speaks. And it was the strangest thing. I walked on campus for the first time, and it felt like I'd just come home. You know, and I don't know, maybe some of you have found that in your church home here, you know. That you've come and you've heard the word, and it's just like, this is where I need to be. This is the word I need to hear. And we see that all around the world. People are waiting to hear the voice of God. They're waiting to hear a message that there's actual hope. I mean, they look at this world like I looked at this world. And I saw people climbing the ladder of success, which this world teaches you to do, and there wasn't anything at the top. It was empty. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days so that we can apply our heart to wisdom. Teach us to recognize that there's something that has eternal value. And then there are many, many things, and maybe they're good things, but they don't have that eternal value, so they don't come first. In Nepal, it's mostly Hindu, like 85-87% Hindu. And Hindus are idol worshippers. And they worship idols not because they love their gods. They worship idols because they think it'll benefit them materially, physically, health. They worship gods to keep their gods away from them so that they don't hurt them. And their gods are not honest and pure and just and lovely and holy. Their gods are scoundrels, some of them, you know. And you've got the goddess of death. Yeah, you give her gifts, but you give her gifts to say, you leave me alone, you stay away from me. And maybe 25, 26 million out of 30 million people living in Nepal bring these little offerings to their gods to try to buy their favor or to try and keep them away from them. They're living in darkness. Look around us in America. We're living in darkness too. We could not have, you know, we would not see what we see around us, except people are living in darkness and they need a light. And guess who that light is? Yes, it's Jesus. And what does he call us to be? We're the light. We're a city set upon the hill, and a city set upon a hill can't be hidden. We are here to be a light to our generation. We're passing through, folks. Maybe that's new news, but you know, we're not staying here. None of us. We were not created to live in bodies of sin and death. We were created to live in eternity with Christ. I love a little passage in 2 Corinthians 5. And it talks about how this mortal must put on immortality. And that this is the plan and the call of God for this mortal to put on immortality. And that he's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that yes, we are going to put on immortality. We have a taste of it in us right now through the Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. We have passed out of death into life. And that's a gift God has already given us, and he's given it with a guarantee that one day this heart's going to stop beating and we're going to see Jesus. And the moment we see Jesus is 1 John 3:2. When we see him, we're going to be like him. And that's going to last forever and ever and ever. It's going to be the day of eternity. It's like we're not going to have sunrise and sunset anymore, you know. It's eternity. And that's what we're created for. We're created for life, not for death. But we and all the Nepali people and all the rest of the peoples of the world, we're born with a sin nature. We're born in a kingdom of darkness. And somebody shared the gospel with us, right? That's how I grew up in a church that never said we needed to be born again. That's the church I grew up in. And I'll tell you, that's very, very common in our country. And yet somebody shared the gospel with me. Somebody shared the gospel with me. And I'll tell you, one of the great thrills I have coming back to America is I can go out in the street and I can pass out tracts and I can talk to people and I can tell them God loves them. I do that in Nepal. I'm going to be out of the country. Visa is going to be canceled. And so it's a freedom that we have here in America that I don't take it for granted. It's a privilege. In Nepal, there's an anti-conversion law, which means you can go to prison if you win someone to Christ. But our pastor says, oh, don't worry about that. Nobody can convert a soul except God. So don't worry about it, you know. Just go out and share the gospel. That's Pastor Jean Neopani. And I'll tell you, that's what they do, you know. And I love it. And some people have gone to prison. I think I've shared before about Pastor Beam. And he was framed and thrown in prison for 5 years. His 16-year-old son took over his church, his three churches. When he got thrown in prison, I think they had seven children, and the son was the oldest. What does a wife do when your husband is in prison for 5 years and you've got seven little kids to raise? You know, they pay a price. Many of them pay a price. But you know what? While he was in prison, he led 63 prisoners to Christ. How? I mean, he's already in prison. What else are you going to do, right? And that's what we see when people count all things as lost. You know, all things as Paul said, I count all things as lost for the glory, the privilege, the joy of knowing Christ as my Lord. And of course, I'm in light of eternity, nothing else matters. I mean, we have practical details. If you don't work, you shouldn't, you know. We need to work and all of that. But as we do, we don't take our eyes off of eternity. Yeah, there are important things to do. I could do this. I should do this. I might do that. All of those things, let's weigh them in light of eternity. I can fill my days with great books to read, and I like to read. But if I do that, what really is the call of God on my life? Sometimes I'm called to read a book, I think. It can encourage me. It can build me up in Christ. But do I do that and not hear the voice of God to share his word with other people? Do I do that and not listen to the calling to study, to show yourselves approved unto God, to read the word, to let that word be a light unto my path, right? To let that word do its work in my heart and change me so I'm willing to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Isaiah was a prophet, right? He was doing the ministry. And he got a vision of God. And he said, I'm toast. I'm undone. He's holy and I'm not. And that's, I think, that's the reality. And I think that's why we're all here, is we recognize that he's holy and we're not. And yet that coal was taken off the altar and touched our lips. That man, that Savior came from heaven and died on the cross, and he took our sins. And that's the good news we have to share, and people here don't know it, unfortunately. So, what a privilege we as Americans have that we can go out and share the gospel. And that's a privilege most of the world does not enjoy. You can't do that in China. And that's got one quarter of the world right there. You can get in trouble for that in India. And that's another quarter of the world. So you got half the world right there. And then you got so many other places, all the Muslim nations and Buddhist and Hindu nations, and you know, and then you've got you've got so many people that they even call themselves Christians, and they don't know what that means. I did. I was calling myself a Christian before I was saved, you know? So when we share the gospel in Nepal, for many there it comes with a high price. Our friend Karan, he's one of our, he's church planting right now, but he's the only one in his, among all his relatives that knows Christ. A year and a half ago, Bishnu came to the Lord. In our church in Bishkek, in Kathmandu. But his wife's not saved. His children aren't saved. When Pastor Rajan came to Christ and he started sharing with people and allowing people to come to his home, you know, Hinduism has this caste system. You know, you're high caste, and this is straight where Hitler got his stuff. High caste are the whiter skinned people. And they will only marry white. They will only associate with high caste people. And then you've got your different working classes and, you know, priestly class and stuff like that. And then you've got your low castes and your untouchables. Well, Pastor Rajan came to Christ. He was the only one among his relatives that was a believer. And that was, you know, so he was in duck soup for that. But then when he started allowing low caste people to visit him in the family home, where he had mother, father, and brothers and sister-in-laws and all that, they kicked him out of the house. They kicked him out onto the street with him and his wife and three children. And they didn't have a way even to support their own kids. Two of their kids ended up in an orphanage. And they had to say that their parents were dead. And one of their kids was taken in by an uncle. And here he is out on the street, out trying to find a place to stay. And his wife's not even a believer. And he waits till she goes to sleep at night, and he puts his hand over and says, "Oh, Lord, please open her eyes." I think it took 3 years for her to come to Christ. And she's a beautiful woman of God now, you know. Luke chapter 18. Jesus was talking about how riches can be such a stumbling block for people like the rich young ruler. And in verse 28, Peter says, "Look, Jesus, we've left our homes and followed you." And God gives him this beautiful promise. He says, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many more times in this life, in this time, and in the age to come eternal life." That's true for us as believers, that we have gained brothers and sisters around the world, you know, and some of them pray for us that, you know, because, and even in this ministry, many of them pray for us, you know, more specifically, that they may have seen some of us at a convention or other opportunities. And they hear about us while they're in Nepal. In Nepal, it's one of the blessings that those that are fortunate enough to have internet have is that we have three Zoom classes a week from Baltimore. We get Pastor Shibeli, who specifically has a class for the Nepalis, the Nepali leaders, and this is in many different parts of Nepal. We've got about 45 ministries going in Nepal in different parts, and not all those ministries have access to internet, but those that do, It's a joy and a blessing because we get to, even when I'm sitting in Pepsi Cola, we get to talk, see, and our brothers and sisters in all these different parts of Nepal. And then my wife and I had the joy of serving for about 14 years in the former Soviet Union. And so on Thursday, we get in on, all of Nepal's welcome to get in on the Russian Zoom that Pastor Schaller does with the Russian churches. And then, of course, it's in English with Russian translation, so those that understand English can catch that. And then on Friday, we have a Zoom with the India church, and the Nepalese get in on that because it was the India church that planted the Nepali church. It was the vision of Pastor Carl Silva to send people north to Nepal and reach out to people there. And it was those people that met Pastor Rajan when he was getting very discouraged as a believer and planning and preparing to leave Nepal and go to another country and work and make some money before coming back, which is incredibly common. About one-third of Nepal's income is from Nepalese that have left the country to find a place to make money and send their money back. And it's mostly the Middle East and Malaysia that they go to. And they get a coffin back pretty much every day from those locations. You know, because it's not always easy to work in these lands. There are people, you know, John the Baptist came. He came so that he could prepare. He was sent to prepare the way for Christ. And the Bible, and Christ is the light of the world. The Nepalese, the Americans, the Indians, the Chinese. They need that which is eternal. They need somebody to step forward and say, God loves you. And in Nepal, we have to explain that a bit because their gods don't love them, and there's lots of them. Hinduism has about 32 million gods. Okay? and a lot of large trees in Nepal are worshipped as gods. Every cow is a god. A pastor got a 12-year prison sentence because they claimed he killed a cow. So there are there are just so many gods in Nepal, and most people pick one of the biggies, or maybe more than one of the biggies, to try to worship and gain favor from them, and then there might be other little gods that they worship in their family. In America, we have gods too. You know, people's ideologies, you know. People think they can find security. There's no security in this world outside of Christ. I mean, hello, people get the news every day, oh, well, you've got terminal cancer, right? Or your heart, it's on its way out. Or, you know, or your company just got bought by another company. Goodbye. So in Nepal, that's a little, I think it's a little more obvious. Things change easily for people in Nepal. But they have paid a price to follow Christ. Because they have, it's like when Jesus said to the disciples, you know, he talked about eat my flesh, drink my blood. And a lot of people said, this is too much for me. I'm not following this, you know, and they left. And Jesus asked the disciples, well, hey, the door's open. Do you want to leave? What was Peter's answer? That's right. Where else are we going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. And that's what we see time and time and time again in our churches in Nepal, in our people in Nepal. Some of them do amazing, amazing things, you know. They will walk 8 hours to a village to preach where there is one believer. And the next day they will walk 8 hours back, you know. Because in many, many of these villages, there are no roads. There are whole districts where you won't find a paved road, and you might not find a jeep trail. It's the whole northern half. It borders on Tibet. It's the Himalayan mountains, and it's really, really rugged. You just don't have roads in there, but you have villages. And so there's, but we have people that have a vision to go to those villages. We have a vision for seven Jesus film teams. I think we have four of them equipped already. And these people will go up into the villages carrying a portable projector, you know, hang a sheet on the side of a hut. And show a film, you know, about Jesus. And many people have come to Christ, including witch doctors, because yes, witch doctors are very common in the villages, and they're powerful, you know. Pastor shared this morning that the verse from John 4:24 that those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. You know, well, the Nepalis believe in spirits. They believe in a whole lot of spirits. But they don't have the truth. They don't know that there is a God who loves them. They don't know that such a God exists. To follow him, they may pay a very high price, because Nepalis are very family and community oriented, and you don't step outside of that easily, you know. What we love is the humility of the Nepali people. They're very humble people. They know that the rest of the world sees things, does things that they don't have any idea about. They know that there are spiritual forces at work that they just don't know how to get away from. Those spiritual forces, or how to have even the hope of eternal life, because they believe in reincarnation, you know, 1,000 sometimes, with the hope that one day they won't come back as a grasshopper anymore. They'll sort of disappear. We have a hope that they don't have. We have a truth that they don't have. We have a life that's been shared with us from God himself that they don't have. And so, yes, we need to share that. You know, you're called here? God bless you. Serve God here. And pray for those that are there. You know, pray for your brothers and sisters in many other parts of the world. Some people get Voice of the Martyrs magazine and things like that. Thank you. Because we are one family. We are one fellowship. We have in our church in Nepal, we have orphans that they've taken off, usually out of the woods and beside the streams and off the streets. They've had to be careful about which orphans they take, if you know that they make sure there's no Hindu relatives, because otherwise we've had pastors that had orphanages that they would throw the pastor in prison for converting Hindu orphans. They called them Hindu orphans. And what happens then with the orphans? They're back on the street, you know? It's a spiritual warfare. And we know that. I mean, there's spiritual warfare here too. I think we're really blessed when we get a chance to go to another country and see the difference, you know, some of the blatant spiritual warfare in some of these other countries where they're bowing down to idols and bringing them little gifts and offerings every day, you know. It helps us recognize the treasure and the freedom we have. So, in Nepal, we have a number of young people in the Bible school, and we have a number of Bible school graduates, and many of those Bible school graduates then go to a branch ministry so that they can be under a local pastor while they're church planting in someplace else nearby. So that's one of the patterns that is used in our church in Nepal a lot, because the local church needs help, but then while they're helping the local church, they're also giving that church a vision to help plant another church, help start another church, help share the gospel somewhere else. And they do that. We have a training institute, a building in Pepsi-Cola that a church in Utah helped build. So many people come there. And one of the things that I thought was really blessed is Pastor Rajan, one young man came to Kathmandu to learn Korean, to go to Korea and work and send back money to the family, because the family was in debt and they needed money, and there's no, you know, they didn't have a way to get it in Nepal. And he asked Pastor Rajan if he could stay in our training center. Pastor Rajan said, sure, you can stay in our training center as long as you come to Bible school classes. He was a Hindu. He wasn't a believer. And he came to Bible school and he got saved in Bible school. And he's now church planting in another city in Nepal, you know? What? Yeah, his father was a Hindu priest. So another man, another man, Badra, and his wife came. It was after Badra had retired from 30 years in the police and military, armed police and military. Now remember, conversion is illegal in Nepal, right? But he's got kind of high up. He goes down, he knows the commander of a garrison, right? The commander calls out all 250 men, and Badra preaches to them, right? And now he every week he's on the phone with I don't know, I think it was up to 100 different military people, just sharing the gospel with them, you know? And his wife is ministering to the military wives and such. These guys are bold, you know? I think we are the ones that need to be humbled by the price that they're willing to pay to follow Christ and to share Christ. And so it's a privilege to be there. So pray for them. Pray for the Bible College. Pray for, and we now have 7 satellite Bible colleges in different parts of Nepal. And all of their Bible College teaching goes on YouTube, except for mine. Because it would probably be at the end of my stay in Nepal if mine went on there. But so they're trying to reach out in so many ways and sow the seed and share the gospel. And I just thank you for supporting their work and the work. It's the work of God. You know. And God does exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. You know, it has amazed me what God has done. We're still on the radio there. It's against the law. It's against the law to convert anybody to Christ, and we've got a half hour on the government radio every week. Hallelujah. So and through that radio program we have a correspondence course, and it's thousands of people have taken that correspondence course, you know, and I'm hoping that we can expand that to include now the Bible College classes and stuff. So there's a work of God going. There's a great joy and blessing, and a great move of God through these men and women that simply say, you know, I may not be much, I may not know so much, but here am I. Send me. And, Pastor, I guess that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Beautiful, huh?